Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair and Todd Alba on the road, our final day. We're here in Amory.
Amory,
my favorite place where I have now been.
Right?
My goal has been achieved, Todd Alba. Thank you so much for helping to make this happen. I am so delighted.
It's been an absolute pleasure. And it's an absolutely beautiful morning. Literally blue skies, fluffy white clouds. Yeah. The grass is freshly mowed. Yeah. We have April Zimmer here from Love Where You Come From, a great marketing firm. She's an Amerian?
Amerian.
Oh, she's an Amerian.
Another reason I love this place.
Because I'm proud to be an Amerian. Where at least I know I'm free.
Nicely done, Greg Bach.
Absolutely, and it is Flag Day.
It's Flag Day.
Also, yeah. So, Todd brought flags, and we're all decked out. And if you are in the Amory area, please come down and say hello. We're at Michael Park, the Danielson stage in Amory, providing our beautiful backdrop for us. We have fresh coffee.
From Wonder State Coffee Roasters in Viroqua, Wisconsin. We brought it with us on the road. We got our fresh pot here, so stop on by. You bring the lawn chair, we got the coffee.
Absolutely. And there's going to be a big brat feed.
Yes.
Right near where we are, right where we can see it from here, which is like a big thing.
Huge.
In Amory on Fridays. So once I'm off the air, I'm going to go stand in line and get us brats when your show starts.
You're the best.
We have many, many, many things coming up on the show today. Dan Schaefer, as always, will be here at 10:33, so we can recombobulate. And at 11:33, April Zimmers will be joining us to tell us all the wonderful things about Amory and why you should come and visit. It's really, really beautiful.
It really is. We came in this morning, and we came in last night. We stayed at Balsam Lake just down the road, and then we came in this morning, and I can tell you we stopped at the gas station for a couple of supplies, and this lovely, lovely person who checked us out, and on the way out, she said, because I have my Green Bay Packers shirt on.
Right.
And she said, make sure you change your shirt next time you come in here. Viking fans just across the river.
We're really close to Minnesota, yeah. So there's lots of cross traffic. But I'm sure you're not alone. There's probably one lonely person in Amory who's also a Packers fan.
Yes, probably.
As we said, we have lots of things coming up on the show today. I did want to share some breaking news. The Supreme Court announcing this morning it has struck down a ban on bump stocks that was enacted by the Trump administration after that massacre in Las Vegas in 2017. Vote to 6-3, the court splitting along ideological lines. Justices finding the Trump administration exceeded its power when it prohibited bump stocks. This attachment enables a semi-automatic rifle to fire at a speed rivaling that of a machine gun. And I remember that shooting in Las Vegas very, very well. It was a massacre.
Yeah. It absolutely was, and it was the appropriate action to try to ban those bump stocks, and unfortunately, been overruled.
It has been overruled. That is the breaking news at this hour. Also, of course, yesterday, big news broke when the former president said that Milwaukee is a horrible city.
Fascinating.
There's been some reaction to that.
Like cockroaches exposed to light, all the GOP, my former party, is running for the rocks.
Well, and it's been interesting to see, and we're going to talk about this more in depth with Dan Schaefer when he joins us at 10:33. It's been interesting to see, first of all, you know, one of them says, well, he never said that at all.
Right.
Then another one says, well, no, he said that, but he was talking about voting and voting snafus in Milwaukee. And then another one says, no, it wasn't about that. It was about crime. And then there's another, you know, no, he didn't really say, well, okay, he said that. He didn't really mean that. So this isn't going away. I mean, good heavens, the RNC is just a couple of weeks away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is exactly the people who actually, we've talked about this before, right, is that unlike past campaigns for Trump, he actually has a team. The main guy, Chris LaCivita, ran Ron Johnson's winning campaign in Wisconsin last time around. So Trump actually has people around him who know about politics and know how to win. And this type of guffaw, this type of slip is a campaign manager's nightmare.
I can imagine.
And because they're scrambling now, because this could do real damage. And you know, later on in our show, we're going to be talking to Trygve Olsen from Lincoln Project, who put out a great ad.
They were on this so quickly. Yeah, it's amazing.
Like that. So, and so, I mean, this could do real damage. And as we've talked about, I know in your show and our show, that the margin for error, I mean, Wisconsin will probably be won or lost presidentially by somewhere between 15,000 and 20,000 votes. So it doesn't take much to tilt the table.
That's a tiny fraction.
Yeah. And quite frankly, it's going to be decided, a lot of it, by people around the Amory area. This part of Wisconsin are going to decide Wisconsin and most likely who becomes the next president.
Well, we will talk more about Milwaukee is Horrible coming up at 10:33 with Dan Schaefer. I did want to point this out because I do think with all of this attention on what Donald Trump said yesterday, there was also something that happened yesterday, which I think is kind of getting overshadowed by his horrible comment. So to me, this is a squirrel. Look over there. Yeah, look over there. There's a squirrel. Don't pay attention to what's happening over here. Just ignore that thing. Yeah, yesterday the Senate rejected a push to protect access to IVF.
If you put it on a spectrum or on a scale, this, what you just said, much bigger news.
It is bigger news. Yeah. Senators yesterday considered the Right to IVF Act. It was a bill from Senator Tammy Duckworth, who used IVF to have her two children. Also, Senator Patty Murray from Washington, Senator Cory Booker. This bill would have barred states from adding restrictions to IVF and required insurance plans to cover the treatment. They failed, of course, to reach the 60-vote threshold needed to move forward with the legislation. Two Republicans, guess what gender?
I'm just guessing, yeah. Males?
No. Senator Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski, the only Republicans to support this measure.
I darn missed it by that
much. You were so close. The Senate vote came the same day that the Supreme Court, of course, threw out the challenge to the legality of mifepristone, also known as the abortion pill. Most Senate Republicans, again, voting against the bill to protect IVF. All 49 Senate Republicans released a statement ahead of the vote saying, quote, Senate Democrats have embraced a summer of scare tactics, a partisan campaign of false fear-mongering intended to mislead and confuse the American people. In vitro is legal and available in every state. We strongly support continued nationwide access to IVF, which has allowed millions of aspiring parents to start and grow their families. That all sounds well and good. At the same time, so Alabama was the first one that outlawed IVF treatments, and then the outcry was so great, they reversed that.
Kind of, sort of, ish.
Yeah, but again, they're leaving things so murky on potential ramifications if you have to, you know, again, IVF involves, from what I understand, numerous rounds and the creation of several embryos, and then they implant these embryos one at a time, mm-hmm. the most what seems to be the most viable, and they keep other embryos to use if the first one does not take. So the issue is about, are these people? And if you don't use all of these frozen eggs, what do you do with them? You destroy them. This apparently is this issue isn't going away. And for the Republicans to say, it's all fine, everything is good, no worries, that I just don't believe them.
Well, no, you shouldn't. Being a former Republican who left the party in 2011, but I think you started to touch on this, Jane, so important that some of these eggs that are not ultimately used, and they can be, it's up to the donors, they can be donated, and there's been absolutely critical research done at the University of Wisconsin-Madison,
yes,
on stem cell research that have helped people walk, that have helped people lead much better lives because of the research that's done using stem cells.
Yes.
And again, unfortunately, my former party, in my opinion, is too much focused on the politics and not the actual quality of life that they try to profess that they support. And it's sad. And I would say, as a former Republican, don't trust what they're saying right now, because those people, particularly the extremist mega folks and the white Christian nationalists, and we passed a lot of Lutheran and Catholic churches and stuff on the way up here, and they're great places where you have a tuna casserole and a potluck dinner. We're not talking about those places.
No.
We're talking about people who have bastardized religion and who have become this political movement in the name of Christianity, and their agenda is to outlaw in vitro fertilization.
And along with contraception.
Along with contraception. So all you dudes out there who, you know, want to slip on a device and protect yourself and have a little fun on the weekend, you might not have those anymore. You know, and you know, so what they're doing out there, Jane, to put it bluntly, it could be a Trojan horse.
You see what he did there, Greg?
Oh,
Buck?
My God. I hate everything right now. But genius, Todd. Genius.
855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Did you go through IVF? What was your experience with IVF? Did it change your life? How did it change your life? I think there are a lot of people who have used IVF and are so grateful for that option.
A lot of conservative Christian Republicans have used this and are very grateful for it.
Absolutely. And then at the same time, and again, why I think it is important for folks to know that this is what happened this week, the Southern Baptist Convention, the nation's largest and most politically powerful Protestant denomination, voted on Wednesday to completely oppose IVF.
Bingo.
Completely oppose.
Yeah. There it is.
And that's where things are going. I mean, if Trump were to get another term, and if Republicans would take control of the Senate, which is the Senate especially, is certainly in play.
Yep.
This is where we're going.
Many evangelicals coming around to the fact that their conviction that life starts at conception must also be applied to IVF. If abortion is murder, then the destruction of viable embryos created during the IVF process is also murder.
I just really quickly, I just want to add, since we're in Amory, and our colleague who's going to be on our show later on, Trigvi Olson's from this area, from St. Croix area, and he likes to say, look, people around, and you know, we can talk to April or other people later on, but I think a lot of people who are here, and where I'm from in Southwest Wisconsin, there are folks who, you know, don't tell me about how many shotguns I can have, but don't tell my daughter what she can or can't do with her body.
855-752-4842. Join our conversation. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you live from Amory.
Amory!
Across the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair and Todd Alba coming to you live from my favorite place. We are here in Amory, Wisconsin. So delighted to be here. I hope if you are in the Amory area, you can come out and say hello. We're at Michael Park, the Danielson Stage in Amory. Beautiful backdrop right behind us, a beautiful park right in front of us. The Apple River is just over to my right. We have fresh coffee.
Yes.
We got cups even.
You got cups?
I know. We really prepared. We brought cups.
Budget is out of control.
I know. It's crazy.
There actually was left over from my failed coffee business, but we won't mention that.
And we have creamer, too, so stop on by and have a cup of coffee with us. Today, of course, wraps up our Scone Summer Statewide Text to Win Contest.
Very nervous.
Steak
Very
dinner
nervous.
On the line. Loser has to buy the winner a steak dinner tonight, and we're going to the Balsam Lodge.
We're going to the Balsam Lodge. We were there last night.
So beautiful.
There's all kinds of other great places you could go, but I think it was just it drew us in. Is that too much to say?
No.
It drew us in.
It really did, and the view from there is unparalleled.
I know it literally gets overused. It's literally, but it was literally
You just literally literally.
Yeah, right.
It is fantastic. We're going to talk more about that a little bit later on. Right now, of course, we started off the show. Supreme Court made a decision. They overturned the ban on bump stocks. Of course, Donald Trump said Milwaukee is horrible. We're going to get to that with Dan Schaefer coming up after the 10:30 news. I wanted to make sure that people understand what happened yesterday on IVF. And the Senate Republicans, of course, did not vote in favor of a measure that would have protected IVF. Also, the Southern Baptist Convention completely came out against IVF on Wednesday. This isn't going away. This issue is not going away. So we're looking for your stories about IVF. Did you go through IVF? What was the experience like? Are you happy that you went through IVF? Sue from Franklin on the text line, we did several rounds of IVF 26 years ago and so blessed to have been successful with our beautiful daughter who is now 25.
Nice.
Had it not been for the medical science that came up with IVF, we would not have our daughter. For those who haven't gone through it, they should stay out of it.
You know, well, I think that's really, really well said.
Absolutely. And the thing that's like that makes me worried is that, you know, you have the Southern Baptist Council voting to ban it, and then all it takes is for the former president to stand on a stage and say, well, what do we know about IVF? We don't know everything about it. He can spur the same kind of doubt he has done on voting. And then as soon as he says that, people are gonna be like, he's right, we don't know about IVF. Where does it come from? Where does it go? You know, is it a liberal caravan of women coming to try to take our guns? We don't know about IVF. And that's all it takes, is him standing on a stage saying, are you sure? We don't know. Mm.
It's about sowing seeds of doubt.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what he does perfectly in the face of facts.
We also had a comment on the live stream. Linda Akola Atkins, protect women who choose not to be pregnant or who choose to bear children, not the business of political pundits.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree with you, Linda. Again, I don't understand how you can, on the one hand, say, stay out of my business, small government, too much regulation, and yet on the other hand say, except for women, women need more regulation. Right. You know, women's reproductive systems, that's we got to regulate, you guys.
Right.
They're out of control.
I did have a poor job on the way out to the break there, but what I was trying to say is that Lincoln Project calls these types of voters Dobbs dads. In other words, guys who like to fish and hunt or whatever, and they're like, look, I don't want the government telling me how many shotguns I can have, you know, my gun case here to go out and shoot pheasants or turkeys or whatever. But by the same token, I have a 14-year-old daughter, and by God, you're not going to tell her what she could do with her body. So these are generally more, you know, center-right voters, but just like they don't want government to interfere with how many shotguns they have,
right,
they sure as hell don't want the government telling them what their daughters can or can't do.
Exactly. Sue, also with an addendum to her comments, listening on WAEK, Sue from Franklin, I should add, we did both fresh and frozen cycles. Our successful implant was fresh, and we didn't have any frozen embryos left, so we didn't have that difficult decision to make. If we did, we would have allowed them to use them for research so that others could have the same chance that we did. And if I remember correctly, Nancy Reagan and Ronald Reagan were completely against stem cell research using embryonic, discarded embryos until he started getting sick.
Mm. Yeah, and right, experience teaches you something, and once you go through it, you have an empathy for something else. And you know, I think that's where something, you know, the more you know, people's views change. And I'm okay with that. I'm not so much holding people accountable for research from 30, 40 years ago and put it through the lens of 2024, but I think it is fair to hold current people, current office holders who have the knowledge of 2024, to hold them accountable.
And the technology behind IVF, as you said, Todd, goes back a long way. That's like mifepristone. Mifepristone has been in use for decades, very safely.
Yes.
And we've talked to Dr. Lyerly when she was still on the show. We've talked to Dr. Laura Hanks about this. It is a very, very safe Wait, it is. It is. It's safe.
Well, and again, I think it's just, I mean, I as a guy especially could never relate, but it's you know, it's both parents. But I've known friends who have used in vitro, And just the emotional stress and trauma of, is this going to work? Is my partner going to be safe through it? Because there is a risk to the woman, as I understand.
Of course.
And also then, you know, if it does, if the first or second or third doesn't take, every time that it doesn't fully take, that is a loss. You're going through a loss every time. And then to fight, and also, it's very expensive.
Yes.
And people have taken out second mortgages on their home, have gone into debt. I mean, this is a traumatic experience. And to attack that and to somehow make it, quote unquote, you know, not okay, or as Greg said, to put, you know, or both of you said, I mean, to question it, it's cruel. It's the worst of America instead of the best of America, where we should be celebrating the people who want to risk this to bring in a beautiful child to help our communities, like Amory, Wisconsin.
Like Amory, absolutely. Yeah. And again, I don't understand why we don't want any regulations. Regulations are bad, 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 bad. Regulations about guns, regulations about this, regulations for business. But we're going to regulate women's reproductive systems, and that's just fine.
I think I have an answer. They don't care about you. You're not people to them. You're just machines that make them sandwiches and make children, and they don't care. I mean,
and let me just add this. I'm sorry, Greg.
Go ahead. No, that's fine. It's fine. I was just like, yeah.
I was just going to say again, as a former Republican, who I saw this, and we see it still in the news, some of these people that cry out against IVF the strongest, ultimately, later on down the road, it's a headline story that they paid for an abortion from some girl that they knocked up and got. The hypocrisy of these people, that's what just drives me apoplectic.
We just wanted you to know that also happened this week, because again, I think it's the former president's comments were a squirrel.
True.
Just trying to get us to focus back a little bit. All right, we have news coming up next. Dan Schaefer will be here after 10:33 from the Recombobulation area. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. We are live from Amory, Wisconsin.
Amory.
Stay with us. You're on the Civic Media Radio Network. I get a little bit closer. Morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair and Todd Alba on the road. We have been on the road since Tuesday. We started in Madison. Wednesday, we broadcast live from Todd's hometown of Richland Center. Yesterday, a beautiful stop in Eau Claire. And today, the culmination of my life, my favorite place I have now been, Amory, Wisconsin. If you are in the area, come on out and see us. We're at the Michael Park, the Danielson stage in Amory. We're going to be here until 2 o'clock. We have fresh coffee all brewed. We have cups. We have creamer. Stop by and say hello and be part of the show. And don't forget, coming up next hour, right after the 11 o'clock news, it's our Scani Summer Statewide Text to Win Contest. Great prizes up for grabs. Today's the final day. We'll find out who has to buy tonight's steak dinner. If it's going to be Todd or if it's going to be me, I will give you the word next hour right after the 11 o'clock news. So stick around for that. Very excited to have him here. He joins us every Friday from 10:30 to 11 o'clock. Dan Schaefer from the award-winning Recombobulation area. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. Checking in here from the city of Milwaukee. A wonderful, terrific, amazing, resilient city. City of Milwaukee that we call home.
That we call home. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the headline on the front page this morning, Trump, Milwaukee, quote, horrible, unquote. That kind of dominated everything yesterday. And what really kills me, Dan, is the not only the walkbacks, but the multiple explanations on why he's first. It was one of them. Did Brian Stiles say he never said that? One of our Wisconsin Republicans said, no, he never said that. And then another one said, well, he did say that, but he was talking about crime. And then another one said, well, yeah, he said that, but he was talking about, you know, voting practices in the city of Milwaukee and urban areas in general. And it's just kind of interesting to watch them all fall over themselves going whoop 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 boing, you know, we're come up with something we can stick with.
You know, those urbans.
Like, it was like five Wisconsin Republican congressmen and 10 stories. That, you know, it was ridiculous the level of spin that we saw. And it's just, we've done this so many times with Trump where it's just like, no, he didn't say that. Well, maybe he said it. No, we're glad he said it. This is what we also agree with. You know, this is because it just seems like this is, you know, calling Milwaukee a horrible city. Nothing new for us to be hearing here in Milwaukee, hearing a Republican talk about Milwaukee in demeaning, insulting terms. Certainly nothing new there. And yeah, it was, you know, I think it was Brian Stiles initially said he didn't say it, but then later he said that he did say it, did call Milwaukee horrible, but it was had to do with election integrity or whatever. And like, that makes it any better. Like, Trump's right. Ongoing lies about the city of Milwaukee and the legitimacy of our votes here somehow make anything better. Like, that's a better thing to say. You know, I know he says it all the time, and we've just become accustomed to it, and it has been normalized by the process that happens whenever we have one of these Trump controversies or what have you. But it's just yet another, you know, ridiculous tilt-a-whirl spin that Republicans are having to put themselves into to defend something absurd that the former president said. And I don't understand why they're going to all these great lengths to defend what he or to say that he said something else or didn't call Milwaukee a horrible city, because this is what they do all the time. This is what Republican Milwaukee bashing is a cornerstone of the Republican Party of Wisconsin's core beliefs, and it is ridiculous just how Republicans talk about Milwaukee. It is. You know, there's obviously dog whistles there, but it overall, it's just, you know, I wrote this in my piece today. It's just always comes back to show us that we're not in this together. You know, we're not all pulling in the same direction to try to make Milwaukee a better place. We know Milwaukee has its issues, but this poisonous rhetoric, the way Republicans and the way Donald Trump was talking about Milwaukee, is frankly one of the biggest things holding us back.
Dan Schaefer is our guest. From the recombobulation area. Go ahead, Greg.
I was going to say, I just wanted to look it up because I wanted to see what I know that Derek Van Orten, he decided to tweet a very cuss-laden tweet about it. And he said that it was Donald Trump specifically referring to the crime rate, and then screenshot a statistic about Milwaukee's high crime rates. And I think Brian Stiles, the one who said he didn't say that at all, whereas, you know, they're all coming to create, as you said, Dan, you know, 10 stories for five people.
Yeah. And I think it was Tom Tiffany later in the afternoon said, you know, he was talking about, he's like, oh, I didn't hear him say anything about crime. I heard him say stuff about the elections though. And, you know, so it's just, and there was another one where the, a spokesperson from the GOP convention folks in Milwaukee here said the comments had to do with the controversy over the protest zone.
What?
In downtown Milwaukee. Did you see that
what?
One too?
No.
And so it was like, you know, you come up with any possible explanation. And then I saw that, you know, the Speaker of the House was on Fox News last night. And Sean Hannity asked him, I hate it. I heard, you know, there were reports about Trump saying something about Milwaukee. And Speaker Johnson says, yo, I didn't hear anything about that. And now they're just like completely gaslighting and saying that this was not heard. And it's just, I feel like we've done this so many times when Trump says something or does something controversial or ridiculous or indefensible, that they just like the spin just goes 90 miles an hour, and the explanations just keep getting more ridiculous. And I think we're already seeing today that there's like, you know, some people are just saying like, yeah, Milwaukee is a horrible city. Now we agree with it. So that's the final stage of a Trump controversy where they, you know, try to explain away all of the different things that he said, and then finally come to the point where it's just like, you know what? Yeah, actually, we agree that, you know, we have this genuine disdain for your city.
Well, and I do think, unfortunately, I do think that there are people who are outside of Milwaukee who do have that impression if they've never been there. And you know, believing the rhetoric and believing these, you know, it's a crime-ridden, drug-infested, violent, you know, horrible place. And as we've traveled this week, there are drug issues in every city that we've stopped in. We were in Richland Center. We were in Eau Claire. They have homeless problems. They have substance abuse problems. That is not only happening in Milwaukee. There are many, many, many more things that bring us together that we share in common, including things like drug problems and people with drug issues and homeless issues. And we all experience that. That's not simply happening in Milwaukee.
Yeah, exactly. You know, look, we know Milwaukee has its issues. Like this,
yes.
For those of us living here, this is not a secret. You know, this is
right.
There, you know, just look at what's happening right now with Milwaukee Public Schools. There's like some real problems that the community is dealing with right now. But to say that the city is horrible because of that, you know, that is problematic too, because you can look at the biggest cities and the smallest villages, and there are going to be things that are great about all of those places, and there are going to be things that are horrible about
yes.
all of those places.
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, it is so often the way Republicans talk about Milwaukee here in Wisconsin, and the way that Republicans talk about large urban areas more broadly across the country is just completely unacceptable. And it would just be if you know, Democrats or liberals or whatever said the same thing about people living in rural areas or people living in the suburbs, you know, the outrage would be off the charts. Like,
yes,
there is, you know, maybe some examples of that here and there, but it is far from equivalent in any capacity. And it is just, you know, I think so often it is the policies of Republicans too that create this zero sum game where their policies go to benefit Republicans and are come at the expense of making life actively worse for people in cities, for people in places like Milwaukee. We've seen that countless examples of that in the last, you know, 15 years when there's been a Republican controlled state legislature in the state
yep.
of Wisconsin that has passed down ridiculous policies that have made the city worse. You know, some of the wealth that exists sometimes in the suburbs around Milwaukee comes at the expense of those in the city. Like it is a real problem. And I think, you know, to boil it down to just like, oh, the cities are bad. The blue team's bad. Everything they do is terrible. It's just the most partisan, ridiculous way to view this world, to view this country.
Yeah. You can always join our discussion at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. Ben from Richland Center checking in, listening on WRCE. Ben says, so many MAGA are unable to hear anything anymore except for dog whistles, and those always come through loud and clear.
I think one of the things, too, we got to talk about is that going on what you were saying, Dan, it's very, very true. If you try to critique the suburbs or the heartland, as they would call it, the farmlands, the rural areas, you know, a lot of times people are trying to bring up problems that are out there. There's drug abuse out there. There's food insecurity. There are farmers trying to make a living and the government not doing anything to help them. And the moment people bring it up, you're like, how dare you speak about real Americans like that? That's one of the reasons why drug problems exist out in those areas, because the existence of programs that can help them, or even the willingness to admit there's a problem in the first place, are so taboo that when someone tries to bring it up, it's automatically taken as you're trying to hate on the real Americans out there doing the real American work. And then there's the further divide and less recognition of the problems they face out there, while urban areas, which I hate to say, have more readily available programs because you have more people doing the studies saying, in Milwaukee, we got drug problems. Let's do something about it. And that is not being addressed by the people calling the cities horrible. They're doing nothing to make everywhere better.
Dan Schaefer is our guest from the Recombobulation area, and we were talking about the former president's comments yesterday that Milwaukee is a horrible place. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. One of the reasons why Todd and I went out on the road, and one of the reasons why Todd and Trigby went out on the road about a month and a half ago, is to highlight the things that we all share in common, and I believe those are far greater than the differences that divide us. So when we come back, let's talk about the things that we all love. Let's talk about all the things in Wisconsin that we appreciate and have in common. And I know, not that it's a bad thing, there's more than cheese curds. I think we can all agree cheese curds are yummy. So we'll start off with cheese curds, and then we can build on these things that we all love together.
I agree.
Absolutely. It starts with cheese curds, though. That's the founder.
You got to have a starting point. You got to start someplace, Dan. All right, we'll keep the conversation going with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you live from my favorite place where I now am, Amory, Wisconsin. Jane and Todd on the road across the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane, Matt Nair, and Todd Alva coming to you live from our location here in Amory, Wisconsin. If you're in the area, please come out and say hello. We are at Michael Park, the beautiful Danielson stage in Amory, and of course, Greg Bach and the Calvinator holding things down at our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He joins us every Friday from 10:30 to 11. The author of the award-winning The Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer, is here. And we're talking about Donald Trump's comments just weeks away from the Republican National Convention coming to Milwaukee, which is a horrible city. And right before the break, we were talking about the things that we share in common and the things that we all love as Wisconsinites, whether you live in Amory or La Crosse or some of the tiny places we went through, Todd, on the way up here, Reedstown. And we share far, far more in common than the things that separate us. I genuinely believe that. Josh from Wausau is on the line. He's been waiting. Thank you for your patience, Josh. What did you want to say?
Well, two things. One, love of brats and all things Wisconsin. But two, it just goes to show that the sycophants will fall in line behind Trump, and he's a 43-time felon, and they're just going along with him, yep, saying, yes, sir, yes, sir.
Yep.
It was kind of shock. I don't know if you saw this yesterday, Josh, but when Trump went to speak to Senate Republicans, they sang him happy birthday. They gave him a cake. Everyone, I mean, and it was, I believe it was 5 years ago today. I'll have to look back and check this. Do you remember when Donald Trump's full cabinet was finally seated a couple months after he was inaugurated? And on that day, he had all of his cabinet members go around the table and compliment him.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
It was surreal. I'm sorry, Josh.
Yeah, let's fall in line. It's just disgusting. Let's just fall in line behind a guy that's going to run the country into the ground. He said he wants to be a dictator. How can you follow that?
Yeah.
And why wouldn't you believe him when he says that?
Yeah,
appreciate the call, Josh, and thank you so very much for listening. 855-752-4842. Jack from Merrimack texting in, listening on WAUK. Republicans say they're afraid of big cities, and they're correct to be so, because cities have large populations that tend to vote Democratic. So what Republicans are really afraid of is the majority voting their minority out of power. Again, Jack from Merrimack. We're looking for the things that unite us. There are many, many more things as Wisconsinites that we have in common than the things that they would like to divide us. Lee from Hartford has been waiting, my hometown. Good morning, Lee. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Hey, I have to really call you out on this. You guys are being disingenuous with your listeners because, you know, so I did see this on Fox News, but they cited at least three different people that they quoted who were in that meeting and said, this is not what Trump said. He said he said Milwaukee was a great city, but they have a terrible crime problem. So that's what he said. And nationally, they're number three in crime. So that's what he said. Just really unfortunate. Jane, I'm very disappointed in you because I've listened to you for years. And but anyways, that's what he said.
Well, Lee, but again, we did talk about this. Maybe you missed it at the beginning of the half hour. There are seven different versions from Wisconsin Republicans about what he said. And initially it was, no, he never said that at all. And then it was, yes, he did say that, but he was talking about crime. And then another Wisconsin Republican said, well, yes, he did say that, but he was talking about voting problems. So, yes, I acknowledge that there are different versions being kicked around, but they did start out with no, he never said that. And then when it started playing widely, it was, well, yes, he did, but here's my caveat.
Yeah, look, the only place where the story has changed has been among Republicans. The media reports of what happened in the room have been consistent. The report that kind of initially started it all from Jake Sherman from Punchbowl News lined up perfectly with the report from CNN and other reports about that particular thing. And there were a whole lot of other crazy things that Donald Trump was saying in that meeting. And, you know, the only stories about it that have changed have come from Republicans for whom it is politically advantageous for them to spin the story.
Yes.
And so who are we going to really ultimately believe here? Republicans who are saying something different every hour, or the people who are reporting on the story and who are in the room initially? You know, even I think there was even a comment from Republican Congressman Glenn Grothman, you know, saying that, you know, expressing some confusion about the stories that Republicans are putting forth. And he's like, well, if that's what they're going to go with, that's,
well, then we better all
be.
Yeah, let's all go with that then. And so Lee, I just want to say this quickly because we only got a couple minutes left, Dan. No one is saying that crime is not a problem in Milwaukee. We all acknowledge that. People acknowledge that, and yes, that is not inaccurate, but no one is claiming that Milwaukee is crime free. Right?
Yeah, I mean, you can go on 15 different websites and you're going to find, as far as, like, everyone's saying, it's third. It's like, okay, then let's do something about it. instead of just saying it's horrible, which he did say, and I will, and sorry, I will not believe Fox News when they're saying, well, he said it was a great city. I'm sorry, I just will not believe that.
We have Wes listening in Middleton on WRCE. They got caught in a lie. This is the first I've heard that instead of a terrible city, that Trump called it a great city. This is a great example of the mental gymnastics that MAGA supporters are willing to do. And again, it's get in line and with go along with the party line. Just go along, yeah. Right?
I mean, Dan, to go by what you were saying earlier, when he was on trial, it's a travesty. It's an injustice. I can't believe it's happening. As soon as he's convicted, I'm voting for a felon and I'm proud of it. I mean, where do we live? Where do we live now? Sorry.
It's just, we're so far like through the looking glass with all of this that, yeah. And this is the same conversation that we just keep having. It's ridiculous. He called Milwaukee a horrible city. Milwaukee is a great and terrific city. Come visit. We'd love to see you.
Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area, thank you so very much. We will talk to you next week. News is coming up next, and then the Scani Summer Statewide Text to Win contest coming up right after that. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you live from Amory on the Civic Media Radio Network.